Hello, everyone. Welcome to Making the Biblical Text Meaningful to Life, a platform on which difficult biblical texts are discussed. Your teachers are Dr. Liberty and Dr. Rob Osun. Hey, Rob, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, will you please pray for us?
I'd love to. Our Heavenly Gracious Father, we just come before you, giving you praise this night. Lord, thank you for another year to continue studying your word, to draw closer to you, and to depend more upon you, Father. Help us to just let go of the things of this world.
Yes, Lord.
To reflect and to serve you, Father. Mm. Lord, you are such a gracious God, such a magnificent and awesome God, Father. Mm. For you are the promise keeper. As we've seen all throughout this study, you promised all the way back to Adam and Eve, that a Redeemer would come. Mm. And through his seed, we would be saved. Father, thank you so much for sending Christ
thank
to
you.
Die for us.
Thank you.
So that we can have salvation through our Redeemer. And our Redeemer lives this night, this day. We just praise you, God, for you are magnificent. Mm. And Lord, be with us this evening as we continue to say your word. Speak through us as we are your instruments, Father, vessels who are your servants, seeking to do your will, Father. Bind any distractions, anything that would hinder your word from going forth, Father. Let our minds, our eyes, and our hearts just be fixed upon you, Father, as we continue to learn more about what a biblical marriage is, and more about David, and most importantly, more about Christ and the salvation that we have in him. And in his name we pray, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you so much. All right. For those of you that are with us tonight, as usual, we keep making this announcement. For those who are with us through computer or laptop, please use the chat button if you want to ask questions while the teaching is on. We will get back to you. And for those who are with us by way of phone, please take this number, 561-406-9853. 561-406-9853. Whatever questions you may have during the teaching, call this number and leave the question. You can call several times, no problem. We are going to get back to you. We ask that you please keep everything quiet around you, from the radio, phone, TV, etc., because this teaching is live. All right. However, at the end of this teaching, we are going to unmute everyone so that you will have the opportunity to ask questions. All right. So stay with us. Great time. Stay with us. Okay. Now, let me just read our text for today. Please take your Bible. Take your Bible and let's go to 1 John. I got mine right here. Let's go to, not 1 John, St. John, the first chapter. All right, if you have it, you just say amen. The first chapter of St. John, please make sure to get there. Are you there? Okay, good. And I'm reading from the NIV version of the Bible, St. John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that which has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Now let's look at verse 12 within the same chapter. Verse 12, I just nailed it, you know, for the purpose of our study tonight. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Wow, I just love this one. What we're going to do tonight is that this is our text, all right? And it's a major blessing. We want to, first of all, discuss what we did last week. Just give you the, what we want to do is to discuss a little bit. Because we want you to know that this study is great. And what makes this study so unique is that we are talking about Jesus being the son of David. And the reason of that, God did that so that the redemptive work that he promised in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3:15 will be realized. And so this is what we discussed last week. And what we did last week purposely was we looked at scriptural references in the Old Testament that prove that. So if you were not with us last week, please, we want you to go back to the video, to part 11 of our teaching, last week teaching, and go through it. We went through scripture and came out with all of the references that talk about the seed of the woman becoming man and all that. Now, this week, we're going to turn to the New Testament. All right. What we discussed last week was the son of David is the seed of the woman. So when you hear the son of David, it's the same as the seed of the woman. Because when God promised a seed, then God promised David that his kingdom or his throne will be everlasting. And that everlasting throne is for the seed of the woman. You go back to that text. It's beautiful. I love it. You know, just go back to it. Okay, the son of man, the seed of the woman, the son of David, and the object of the serpent's songs is Jesus Christ. All what we're talking about, they all speak of Jesus Christ. Nothing else, only Jesus Christ alone. And please, you know, you need to, this is a great study, all right? Now, the seed bearers that we discussed, last week we need them, and then we didn't go into a detailed discussion on each person, but we have Seth, which is the third son of Adam. Then Noah was the second seed bearer. Noah's son Shem was his third seed bearer. Now Abraham was the fourth. Isaac, Jacob, David was his seventh. And the joy here is that David was the seventh seed bearer. And it's to him God promised that his throne will last forever. And we discuss the symbolism and meaning of the number seven in the Bible. We discussed that. That's great. Go back to that video and you will love it. What is important here is that David, it's the seventh seed bearer. That is the joy in the whole study. David is the seventh seed bearer to which God covenanted to establish David's kingdom forever. Thus, Christ became the son of David to sit on David's throne forever. That was our study last week. All right? So, now, this week we are going to prove that all we study from the Old Testament, we're going to prove it also from the New Testament. So what we talked about, the seed of the woman, which is the son of David, pre-existed. Hey, Rob, you say you got a note here. I love that note, man.
Thank you. So just want to reiterate exactly what you said, that Christ eternally pre-existed.
Right.
He stepped out of the infinite past. You know, it was eternal. Time didn't exist until God created it.
Right.
And then he stepped into our linear time.
Right.
You know, God intervened after man fell. Christ came and stepped in so that we could be redeemed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, through the seed bearers. as was prophesied, and what we're going to look at tonight right. are these prophecies. There's so many of them. It's just incredible. I just love it. So I'm looking forward to this. There's over 350 prophecies that Christ fulfilled. Mm. You know, these were written over hundreds of years. It's just magnificent.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you got it. You got it. Rob. It's a great thing. You know. But let's go back again. Christ or the son of David or the seed of the woman pre-existed. How do we know? Let's look at our text we read. Number one is John 1:1. So in the beginning was the Word. We read it already. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Christ is the Word of God. And I love what verse 14 said. The Word became what? Flesh. See that? And dwell among us. This is what we are talking about. The seed of the woman became the son of David to sit on David's throne forever. It's not Solomon. It's not Rehoboam. But Christ is that seed. And in fact, within the covenant that God made with David, he said, I will establish your seed forever. God made that promise to David, and that seed. It's the seed of the woman. That seed is the son of man. That seed is the son of David. So, the seed became what? Flesh. I love what Jesus himself said here in the discussion in John 8:58. When they were discussing something, what did he say? He said, before Abraham was, I am. That's, Rob, what do you think about what he said here? That's something.
Oh yeah, this is excellent because he's declaring that he existed. He existed with God, and that he is God in this statement here, and that he was pre-eternal, you know, before time. Yeah. This is this thing that we have a hard time understanding. It is beyond our intellectual capabilities because we are finite beings.
Right.
And God is not finite. He is infinite and resides outside of our sphere, our linear time. Mm-hmm. Yet he is constantly involved in interacting with us because he loves and cares for us, as we see all through Scripture and we see today. So, yeah, this is just great. I love this Scripture here.
Jesus even said nearly, you know, when they were saying, oh, man, you're a young man. You're talking about Abraham. He said, let me tell you the truth. Before Abraham was, I have been in the beginning of all things. And this is unique. Thank you, Rob. That's good. All right. Now, let's look at other prophecies about the son of David. When you look at Matthew 2:4-6, it talks about the scribe knew that Bethlehem was the prophesied birthplace of the Messiah. That also in the Old Testament is in Micah 5:2. Now, when you look at Luke 1:26-31, it talks specifically about a virgin named Mary will be the mother of Jesus Christ. And who first talked about this virgin? It was Isaiah 7:14. We talk about it in the Old Testament. Now in the New Testament, confirming that the angel came to Mary and said, well, you will have a child, and that child shall be, you will have a child. This is a great thing. A virgin. How can this be? Mary asked. Well, the Holy Spirit will come, the great God of heaven, and you will have that child. See, all right. Now in Matthew 2:2, there's something unique about that. A new star appeared in Israel.
You know, the story when the truth about when Christ was born in Bethlehem, then the Magi, they were in the east and they saw the star. And so they followed the star to come. So that new star appeared, it was who? That new star that appeared, it was God coming in the human form to dwell among people with the sole purpose to redeem us. I just love that. The angel gave her to Mary that her child to be born would be called Jesus. And he will sit on the throne of his father David. That's what I love. Forever. You can read that from Luke 1:31-33. It said, the child that will be born, name is Jesus. And this child will sit on the throne of his father David. We talk about the fatherhood in our previous video. Just go back there and view those videos, all right? It's a great study. But God himself has spoken to this young lady. You will have a child. The child will be named Jesus, all right? And he will sit on the throne of his father David forever. I love that. Forever. Now, so we see, we look at first the various references. There are a lot in the New Testament that we will bring to you. But, you know, because of time, we thought on bringing you few tonight. We had looked at the Old Testament references concerning Jesus Christ coming, the son of David, the seed of the woman, the son of man. We're referring to the same person, which is Jesus Christ. Now, let us look at the key point now. The son of David fulfills God's plan of redemption. What is the purpose of his coming? The purpose of God coming in the human flesh, the sole purpose to redeem his creation, to redeem mankind. Why? Because in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and his wife fell, within the curse, God put in a blessing within the curse. And he had to come and take Adam and his wife and his descendants back to paradise. So the purpose of coming is to redeem his creation, redeem man and the whole of creation. Because of sin, so many things are going on today. So, the son of David, seed of the woman, was promised to redeem God's creation. Let us not forget that. And I love what we've been following. One of the major themes of our study is what? God is the promise keeper. That's all right.
That is right.
God is the promise keeper, right?
Amen.
Yeah, amen to that, brother. He is. All right. The seed bearers from Seth to David failed. Let me come back to that. All the seed bearers from Seth to David, they all failed. How? Well, you go back to our study. They all did something wrong. They all were crushed by the enemy. All right. Noah had a problem. Shem had a problem. Abraham had a problem. You all know all of the problems. We discussed all those things. You can go back to the video. They all failed. And God, the Son, came as a seed to redeem his creation. Because all the seed bearers could not do it. They were targets of the enemy. And that's one thing that if you are listening to me live tonight or by way of replay, whatever church that you are in, always be prayerful for the church leaders. Because the enemy will always target the leader of the church, either the pastors, key leaders of the church, because when they are thrown down by the enemy, a lot of people are going to fall along with them. So all the seed bearers, the enemy, they were the target of the enemies, and they all failed. They all failed. Father Abraham failed. Isaac failed. Jacob failed. You can just leave. Noah failed. David took Uriah's wife. So then who is able to do this now? So God said, okay, I'm going to go to do it because I have promised Adam to bring him back. I made that promise. I am the promise keeper. I just love that. I just love this part. All right. And so God the Son came as the seed of the woman. And then from our study tonight, God spoke to the young lady. The angel said to her, you're going to have a child. And that child shall be called Jesus. That child is here to sit on the throne of your father David. Now, because God covenanted with David, David was the last seed bearer to establish a throne forever. God the Son came through the Virgin Mary, and Mary was what? Was a descendant of David. So the way God does things, we just do not understand. He's great. He's a great God. The way he works out things, we cannot understand it. God is so good. The message came through that young lady. Then she got pregnant and brought forth this child. And this child began the target tool of the enemy. But let's see. Now, Rob, you said you got a note here where we have the serpent will bruise the heel of the seed of the woman to make redemption possible. What do you think?
So, yes. So in Isaiah 53:5,
right,
we read the prophecy that says, but he was wounded for our transgressions.
Mm-hmm.
He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, mm-hmm, and with his stripes we are healed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, I just want to reiterate that there are over 350 prophecies that foretold the coming of Christ.
Hmm.
And as we read the New Testament, many of these passages point back into the Old Testament to remind us of these prophecies.
That's
so here,
right.
You know, in Isaiah, we're reading about the suffering that Christ is going to go through. Of course, he went through this, in his death. And one of the things, you know, we don't always stop to think about how much of a torturous death this was,
mm-hmm,
that he went through.
Mm.
I remember in seminary reading a series of articles written by some medical doctors about the crucifixion and how slow this was. You know, before he was hung, any of the victims, the Romans would flog them.
Mm.
And we think, oh, flogging, no big deal. It's just, you know, whip or stones or whatever. No. Actually, what they had was a what's called a flagrum, which is a whip. It could be made out of leather or rope-like material. At the end are iron balls or pieces of bone or material,
mm-hmm,
that when the victim is struck, that then tears at it, sticks into, first it loosens up the flesh, and then as they continue to strike the victim, it then starts tearing into the flesh. It rips through the flesh, it gets into the muscles and starts tearing the muscles. And the Roman soldiers, as they would perform this, what they would do is they would work in a pattern down the victim's back. So starting at the shoulders, striking, you know, basically whipping them, flogging them, first on the one shoulder in a downward pattern towards, you know, from the outside into the spinal cord, and then on the other side downward, and then just keep working down until they get down towards the buttocks. And they would do this until the individual was at the point of barely being conscious. So they're in excruciating pain.
Yeah.
And then when they get ready to put him on the cross, you know, we think, oh, it pierces, you know, put him right through his hands. Well, more likely it was right through the wrist, because if you put it in the hands, it's going to rip out. And as we read it and we read into the languages, you know, we see where he was pierced. Well, also, the median nerve is right there as well. So that would more than likely would get severed in the process, which means they're just going to have a fiery, burning sensation constantly going up and down their arms, creating more and more pain. So to this, there is no rest or end of the pain. It's just sheer pain constantly for the whole time that they're alive. And then with the body hanging down and the arms above the head, the way that they're impaled, it makes it extremely difficult to breathe, to where they have to then push up, you know, where they're nailed through in their ankles, having to push up on that and pull up using their arms and their body. Again, excruciatingly painful, just to grasp a breath and then sink back down and then lift back up and then sink back down. You know, so this went on for roughly 6 hours until Christ passed. So this was no painless thing. And Christ knew this. We saw this going into it when he was sweating blood. He was at the point of exhaustion from prayer, and he knew before the Garden of Gethsemane, before he started his ministry, before he came here on earth, he knew what he was going to have to endure.
Yes.
Here it was prophesied in Isaiah, and he knew before this, you know, all the way back when God spoke to Adam and Eve and said that through their seed, a redeemer would come. It's the love that God has for us is just incredible.
It is.
And as we go back, you know, we look at these, the virgin, the perfect birth that we read about in Isaiah 7:4, that 14, that we then see reiterated in Matthew and in John, and in Micah. We read about the prophecy of him being born in Bethlehem. And in Isaiah, we read about him being heir to the throne in David.
Right.
We read about a shepherd in Ezekiel and in Jeremiah being a descendant of David, actually from the righteous branch, which we talked about last week, about the curse of Jeconiah. You know, he was just a wicked ruler that nobody from his line could sit in the throne. Yet here's Christ, who is from his line. But he is the adopted son, so the rights pass to him and not the biological son. Therefore, the curse is null and void. But he's also of the royal line and the legal line. It's just magnificent how God orchestrates all of these things. You know, and in the end of it, you know, the crucifixion was just horrific. But the best part is he rose again. Resurrected, just as we will. You know, death could not contain him. He was victorious. Sin was overcome. It's just wonderful. What wonderful hope we have.
Yep. Thank you, man. You nail it. So, all that Rap has said tonight, it boils down to what? The serpent really bruised the heel of the seed of the woman. But on the other end, the seed of the woman did what? Crushed the head. So, you know, victory there, but what he explained and the kind of way the Roman soldiers were used to, the kind of thing they used to beat someone, I'm feeling so bad about it. But anyway, you know, the Messiah will suffer while reconciling men to God. And that's why Rob have just discussed the whole thing. The Messiah will have great sorrow and grief. He will be oppressed and afflicted. he will be confined and persecuted. Now, when you look at the four seventh songs, all of these songs describe the suffering and the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But the joy here is this. Christ gave up his life on the cross of Calvary for the redemption of his creation. He came and accomplished the purpose for which he came. He came to bring us back to paradise. All right? And he gave his life for us. Man who knew no sin became sin for sinners. This is how the whole thing is. The joy of his redemption. Why? Because God is the promise keeper. God promised Adam and Eve, even with when you were going through major difficulty, you know that difficulty, red side, the difficulty is the blessing of God standing right there. God is always with us, even in our in tough time. So, Christ came and did the work on the cross. Everything was described. Just go to back to those videos. You're gonna love it. All right. Now, having done that and giving his life for us on the cross of Calvary, the seed of the woman, which is the son of David, the Messiah, ascended into heaven. And there now, what is he doing there? Christ ascended into heaven and is sitting on the throne of David. What are we doing? We are waiting for the second coming of Jesus Christ, for his saints, with his new Jerusalem sitting on the throne of David, and that will be forever and ever and forever and ever. I just love that part. Hey, Rob, what do you think about this one?
Oh, yes. Yeah. You know, his eternal reign is just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and this is the thing. When he came, there were those that were looking for an earthly leader. But
right.
Before he could achieve that, he had to redeem us, redeem a lost people. Once we're redeemed, then he can then sit on the throne.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the hope that we have in the second coming.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully we'll be alive to see this. If not, we'll be resurrected to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And see his reign and all the war, famine, the things of the sinful world will be at peace, will fall away. It's just a great hope that we have.
Great hope, yes. Great hope, yeah. I agree.
And we know that it will come true because God is the promise keeper. As we've seen all through this study, everything that God has orchestrated, every time he's entered into a covenant, he has always upheld his word.
Mm-hmm.
Man may have fallen.
Yeah.
But God does not falter.
No.
And does not. He never breaks his word. We don't always understand sometimes why things may be, but we know this, that he always works it towards his good.
Mm-hmm.
And to the good of those that love him. And so this is the hope that we have, that we can look to him to maintain this promise and to redeem us from our sins. We must confess them, and we must look to the example that Christ lived, to try and live like him, to study, to draw closer to him, to let this world fall away, and just to let go of these distractions and things that really aren't important. What is important is God and having love for him and love for each other and fulfilling the Great Commission, you know, spreading the gospel so that others may hear.
Mm.
You know, and being thankful for this promise and this hope that we have. You know, Christ is the Messiah, the anointed king. He is the Lion of Judah. You know, and you know, the scepter, as we read, will not depart from him. You know, there is no other, and no one else that could fulfill these prophecies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything has been so beautifully orchestrated. What I love, absolutely love, in this whole study is we read, as we mentioned just a moment ago, mm-hmm. in Ezekiel, in Jeremiah, in Micah, in Hosea, in all of these different books written over several hundred years
mm-hmm.
by completely different authors.
Mm-hmm.
No way that they could coordinate this.
That's true.
And all of these prophecies have been fulfilled.
Yes.
Only God could do that.
Only God, right.
And so there should be no doubt that God is the great creator, that he is the promise keeper, and that Christ is our redeemer. Hmm. And for that, we give thanks.
Hmm. Thank you. Thank you, Rob. Great, 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 great. All right. Now, tonight, we want you to know that this is the area where we want you to be very, 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 very. Christ is the son of David, and we told you how. Go back to the video. All right? God is the promise keeper, and we have done that. So, by the grace of God, next week now, when we come back, hopefully, pray with us, we are going to conclude David. All right? We should have concluded David about a few weeks ago, but then we left out another important part of David, and we had to deal with that. So, the son of David, Christ is the son of David. That's the discussion we've been following. It can be proven through the genealogy in Matthew and in Luke. It can be proven, in many ways, through the covenant that God made. You read the covenant, you know exactly that, okay, this is what God himself is doing. And through his redemptive plan, God had to come. We must have David on the throne of Jerusalem so that a new Jerusalem will come from heaven. See, you know, without the throne of David here, there cannot be a throne over there. So God had just planned the whole thing in his own wisdom that we do not understand. All right? So we thank you tonight for joining us. If you have any questions before Rob made his final concluding remarks, if you have any questions tonight, those of you that are with us, you can please ask. Okay, well, before Rob give his concluding remark, let me just say this before he can do it, and we can just close up for the day. Now, if you are watching this teaching on our website, please leave us a comment. We have a space for comment. Please do. It will help us. All right. When you are watching it on YouTube, they have thumbs up and thumbs down. You got a choice to make. Well, if you like the teaching, give a thumbs up. If you don't like the teaching, just give it down. Leave us a comment. We'd love to hear that. All right. So please do. So next week, by the grace of God, we are going to now finally conclude David and pick up the next person. And we're doing great. And I want to thank God for this teaching. Okay, Rob, can you give us just the concluding point?
Certainly. So all through this study, we've been talking about what it means to have a biblical marriage.
Mm-hmm.
We saw in the Garden of Eden, God created and brought Eve to Adam.
Mm-hmm.
She was the perfect wife for Adam. Now they fell, and so you know what was originally intended for marriage, we don't know, you know, because we are not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And then we saw Abraham send his eldest servant,
right,
to go retrieve a wife from his people, a godly people, for his son Isaac, whom he loved. And so we see this, that the parents arranging for a marriage, caring for their children.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these past couple weeks, we've looked at King David, and we see that as a parent, I don't remember reading anywhere where he disciplined his kids. There was a lot of turmoil going on.
Yeah, a lot of turmoil. You're right.
And his house was a mess. And we don't see him seeking a wife. Well, we see him seeking wives for himself, but not for his children.
Uh-huh.
And so you see this contrast. Now we look at what God provided, and we see goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And we look in this, and we see all through these, the covenant that he entered into with Abraham and with Isaac, you know, he was the promise keeper.
Mm-hmm.
And he upheld his part of the agreement because he loves us. We're his children. And so, as I mentioned a moment ago, we don't always understand everything, but he does love us, and he is redeeming us, and he is the promise keeper.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's giving us a picture of how to live and of how we relate to him and how he cares for us through these examples in scripture and through biblical marriage. And so we have to remember that in all things, that he is the creator and that he does care for us. And it's just, we have to sometimes get out of our own way and just let go.
And let go, right.
Yeah, and just to completely trust in him, you know, and that he is our redeemer.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you. Thank you for just going back there and giving us a recap of some of the major points that we'll be studying. All right. Okay. Thank you for joining us tonight. Come back next week, Sunday at 8 p.m. 8 p.m. Invite somebody. All right, Rob, can you have a final prayer?
Certainly. Our gracious and heavenly Father.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, as we've seen all through this study, you care for us so deeply, Father.
You do, oh God, you.
You are the promise keeper, and we are so thankful for your promises that you've made through the millennia, and that you promise to us that through our faith in Christ, that we will have eternal life. This is such a great and wonderful promise, Father. We just praise and magnify your name. Thank you so much for this time to come together, to fellowship, and to study your word. There's so much to see. Lord, we just get caught up in the busyness of life and think we have all the answers. But you know, what I am amazed at every time I sit down, read your word, and pray, there's something new that I didn't see previously.
Mm-hmm.
It's the living word. Father, it is so relevant to our lives today, as it has been for thousands of years, Father, because you are the author of life and no other. Lord, we are gracious and thankful.
Thanks.
For this. Thank you so much for this time.
Mm.
And we look forward to the study next week and the weeks to come, what you will reveal to us.
Mm.
Lord, help us to just continue to focus on your truth, not what is cultural, but the biblical truth and what it means to have a biblical marriage so that we may be better spouses for our partners and help each other draw closer to you and to serve you more effectively. And all these things we pray in the name of Christ.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for joining us tonight. Next week, Sunday, every Sunday, in fact, at 8 p.m. Invite somebody. God bless you. Bye-bye, everybody.